Xiangyang Yuan is an extracurricular study group organized by neighbors and community force, which was popular in the late 1970s. And now it has regained interest from thousands of parents who cannot pick up children from school at 3:30 p.m. And the parents are at work, and if there's no grandparents to be relied on, then who should pick up children from school and accompany them at home? Well, first of all, do you think that this issue of picking up children is a big problem?
I think it certainly is a big problem when the kids are let out of school at 3:30 and parents don't get off work until maybe at least 2 hours later. So during that time slot, where can kids go to?
Yeah,
right?
Sure. So they get out of school at 3:30. Ideally, the parents will finish work at 5:30, but probably be closer to 6, maybe even 7. And then, you know, then the parents have to commute maybe 30 minutes, perhaps even up to 2 hours, just to get back to where their kid goes to school. So yeah, what in the world are parents supposed to do with their children? If you're lucky, well, you'll have your parents with you who can help pick them up. But if you're not lucky, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, and this just brings back some old memories. I remember when I was a primary school kid in Beijing, because we didn't live so far away from the schools, so we used to just walk in a line and
what
I'm talking about, and wearing the little yellow cap, and then you. The most important part is you walk in a line and you march home. And then that was, you know, feasible. And I think that was what most people did. But now it seems like when people often don't live so close to the school, then this does become a big problem. But when you look at foreign practices, it's usually the school that's taking up that responsibility of looking after the kids for that 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, right? And it used to be that way in China as well, until the government decided to go completely overboard and ban all after-school classes, which, thankfully, not all schools are actually following. Seriously, it makes no sense. I mean, like, for me and for my wife and our daughter, we don't give a crap if she's really good at singing. If she wants to sing, she should sing. And we'll pay for lessons for her to go do that, especially if it's after school. We don't give a crap if she is good at art or not. Right. But if she is interested in painting and drawing, we will pay for her to go to a class after school. That way, we know where she is after school, that we know that someone is watching her after school, and we don't have to worry about us being there on time at 3:30, which is impossible every single day.
Well, I do remember that in my days at primary school, there used to be after school classes for you just to do your homework until, you know.
Right. The teachers were there just to see that they
still have that in many schools. I mean,
that's really important.
The school that my daughter goes to, they have the extra classes, but they also have like the 12-ban, just watching the kids, basically.
Yeah. And that is a good thing. So as John said, you know, theoretically, all these classes should be canceled. But fortunately, not all of them have, thus providing us parents with a choice. But I do think it's a huge problem. And, you know, I had the same experience when He Yang were growing up. And at the time, there were no such safety problems. Everyone was living pretty close. We basically just had keys hanging on our necks.
You were latchkey kids.
Yes. And then we just go home by ourselves. And sometimes we play outside, sometimes we stay home, and there was not a lot of things that went wrong during that time.
Well,
but those were not possible now.
That's probably not necessarily true. It's just you might not have heard about it as
right.
much.
Right.
I think that's always a big problem when we compare, you know, contemporary society to society decades ago. I mean, there always is this sense that somehow it's less safe, and, you know. But I think really it's just that we become a bit more aware of what the dangers are because information spreads so quickly. I mean, what happens, you know, halfway across the world, we can find out 10 minutes after it happens. And so there is that. But certainly, I mean, as China has modernized more and more, this issue of what in the heck are you supposed to do with kids has not been addressed at all. And this is even true with kindergartens as well. I mean, you know, for my daughter, unfortunately for her, because before my son was born, it was just the three of us. We had no grandparents staying with us. And so every single day she had to stay in kindergarten until 5 or 6, and we had to pay extra for that. But for classes, not for them just to watch her, because we could just not go pick her up in time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, what we see here about the Xiangyang Yuan, it seems to be a community-oriented arrangement that it seems like it's just all those kids, regardless of what grade they are, if they live in the same neighborhood, and then they would gather together after school before parents come back and do their homework together. And it, I think it's a good idea, but we need to still look at like safety issues, like who's looking after them. And I think more importantly is about safety here.
Yeah, this is never going to happen. I'm sorry. This is never going to happen. I mean, like it's a great idea. And I'm sure like looking back for both of you, it brings you know, all these feelings of nostalgia and, you know, how great life was as a kid, even though it probably wasn't all that awesome. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, we always look to the past with rosy-colored glasses, but it's not going to happen. And, like, in ultra-urbanized cities like Beijing and Shanghai, there is just not enough, you know, communal cohesion for this to actually be possible. There's not enough trust. There's not enough actual communication between parents, between even your neighbors, as I think most people can attest to. So really, it is up to the government. It is up to the schools to start organizing these types of things. And also, I think more importantly, make it affordable. You know, don't you know, make it about, you know, oh, kids have to do something or other while they're being watched after. No, just let them play around or let them finish their homework depending on whatever the parents ask them to do.
Yeah, I do think that although Xiangyang Yuan might be a good nostalgic past, it's probably not quite possible. Well, first of all, there's the community cohesion thing that John mentioned about. And second of all, where are you going to find that altruistic person who will organize everything and not charge a lot of money and still be, you know, responsible personally for all the safety?
Well, that's the thing. This is also great room for a great business model if the government will allow space for it.
Yeah, and also maybe subsidize it, set up some regulations. Also, there is something that I do want to mention about in the U.S. model, there's the babysitter. You know, the babysitter who is not maybe a babysitter,
that's
child
different.
Sitter, but there are, you can go for a babysitter test or get a certificate or something. But here in China, it's still mostly the ayis
that
are doing this.
But even, I mean, no, I mean, that's not necessarily official. I mean, if you want to, like, look, you know, more trustworthy or credible or something, I suppose you can do that.
Yeah.
But most babysitting happens on a informal basis. You know, the 16-year-old girl down the street who you're friends with her parents, you know, we want to go out on a date on a Saturday, so, you know, can you come watch the kids? There are after-school programs at schools, outside of schools. This is also where extracurricular activities, you know, come into play. Sports, chess clubs, painting clubs, things like that.
For the rich and wealthy parents.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, the kid has a basketball team practice every day during the basketball season. So that obviously takes up quite a bit of time right there.
But I think in China we have all of those. But the thing is that a lot of them are quite expensive. And as you said, all these extracurricular classes arranged by the schools have been canceled.
Yeah.
And so there is no choice, I guess.
And also there's the school bus system, which is not really that popular here in Chinese cities. So yeah, there are a lot of fundamental differences. So I think in the Chinese context, probably it is still the school that maybe parents can rely a bit more on.
That's true.